This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. postwrestlingcafe.com.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
2024. It has been called the year of the podcast, and no political figure utilized the medium to its fullest potential more than one man, ascending to unchecked control as he forged a bridge through the utilization and activation of a young male demographic in his quest for influence, power, and all culminating with an address on election night.
What's Joe Rogan's dream?
What's Joe Rogan's dream?
Joe Rogan, Dana White. What's Dana White's dream?
Did you just think I was Joe Rogan?
I totally did.
I am so fucking tired of doing podcasts. I'm literally done with them. I'm not doing any more podcasts.
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 Today we're here with the big man, it's Dana White in the building. Long overdue.
A curator of talent and unhealthy appetite for risk.
Some call him a savage. One of the most influential people in sports, Dana White.
He's a business mogul. He's from Massachusetts.
When it comes to bald white guys, it is Statham, Bezos, and him.
And Dana is truly the mastermind behind the UFC.
Dana's like pretty much the uncle of Nelk, so I feel like we always just get Dana on once in a while. It's pretty much just like a boys sit down.
The true captain of chaos, Dana frickin' White.
I want to thank the Nelk boys, Aiden Ross, Theo Vaughn, Bustle with the Boys, and last but not least, the mighty and powerful Joe Rogan.
I'm glad I showed up. just the intro alone.
Welcome to 2025 and the 13th annual MMA prediction show. I am John Pollock, joined as I am every time this year, Ariel Helwani. And Ariel, I got the director's cut there to watch your reaction to said video. I got a little, I didn't know what direction to go this year, but you really held your cards close to the vest there. I couldn't tell if you were amused or instantly regretting agreeing.
Well, I wasn't sure if I was on camera or not.
You were not on camera, yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't know if you were trying to pull a fast one on me.
No.
I'm always impressed with your production skills, your research skills, like how you found some of those clips. I mean, I recognize some of them, but man, oh man, you had to go deep into the archives. Can I tell you something? I believe the Sage Steele interview, that's the one where she, you know, mistakes him for...
You think it was a bit...
I think that was a work. I think that was a work, my friend. And I think the other thing was a work too.
The Howie Mandel thing. Yeah.
It was all a work. It's all a work. Let me tell you something about the world of pro wrestling. Okay. I don't know if you know a thing or two about pro wrestling. It is everywhere. Okay. Everyone's a worker. Everyone's a pro wrestler. And I think all of that was a work. By the way, was 2024 the year of the podcast? Like, are people calling it that?
Certainly for this this election season. I don't know if it's been given too much credit or not, but I think that there is a renewed focus that it was the way for political candidates to get their messages across. So I think it is having a bit of a wave. Yes,
that's fair. And by the way, do you think we'll always call them podcasts? Because, you know, originally it was something that you listened to on your iPod, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, sometimes I get offended when people say my show's a podcast, even though it originates your show, your shows. Like, if it's something that streams, is that a podcast? If it's available in audio form on Spotify, is that a podcast? That's not on even an Apple device. You know what I mean? So do you think that the podcast name has now superseded Apple and is just the name for anything that is of sort of digital audio form.
I think so. I think okay. so. I don't think anyone's actively attaching that to like an Apple branded term. I think it's just it's superseded it to this point, and yeah. I just don't know if anyone's going to rebrand it. I'm not taken aback by the term podcast. I mean, people can be demeaning about it. I mean, I have to deal with pro wrestling podcast as well. So, I mean, that is
oh, it's a double whammy.
That's the double, the 1-2 punch.
Oh my God. You're
so
right. You're
we
right.
We have to deal with all of this.
Well, it's great to be here. And by the way, when you say 13th annual, did we skip a year?
No, I don't think we have skipped a year.
We've never skipped a year. Wow. So that's 13 years in a row. So 2012?
2013 was the first
one. Okay, yeah, if you count that one right. I wasn't sure if we skipped a year during our feud when the Mega Powers exploded.
No. The Mega Powers came back together. We met arm in arm last year.
Yes, I just wasn't sure about the timeline. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I've done some of these on the beach during my Christmas break. Now you actually hit me up to come back after the break. And, you know, some people don't like – it's turned more into a prediction show, like a future show than a recap or – something that would be apropos in 2024, but you'd be surprised, or maybe not. A lot of people say, "Are you going on with Pollock around end of December?" I get it. I get the tweets. I get the YouTube.
I purposely don't announce it anymore. I just like to like play with it, and then we just drop it. You know,
it's
like
great.
It's going to fall in people's lap and such. And then I made the mistake of on Wednesday night show. Dropping that little nugget for our cafe listeners that this would be dropping, and then Thursday, we had to shuffle the deck.
You had to make it happen. You had to break the fourth wall. It's one of the greatest nightmares of my life. As you know, we only you and I enjoy our horror stories from the world of booking interviews. And I had to hit you 30 minutes before we're scheduled to go at 1:30. I hit you at 1:00, and I swear. I tried to do everything in my power not to make this happen. But the problem was my garage broke. Okay.
Oh, no.
This is the truth. My garage broke. It's freezing outside. My garage broke, and it's a huge pain in the ass when the garage doesn't work. You know, you have to go through the back door, this, that. And this dude said he can literally only come at 1:30 or next week. And, So I tried to do two. I tried to do two. Like I wasn't canceling. I just needed that. He literally said the only time he could come was at 1:30, and it broke at like, no joke, it broke at like 11:30. So I had to act fast, and here we are. I mean, can we at least say two and a half? And by the way,
as I disclosed to you, this is actually easier for me than our previously agreed upon time.
But it's the worst feeling in the world to A, send that text, but also receive that text, especially when you're live. At least we're not live here, right? Or are we live?
We're recording, but we are not live.
We're live to tape, as
yes,
they say.
Live to tape, as they say.
Yeah, when you're live, and then it's like it's a domino effect afterwards. It's a real nightmare. But again, I owe you. I'm sorry. Might be the first time I've ever had to do this.
I think so. You're always you've always been very accommodating, and we're glad to have you here.
Yes.
So for those that are maybe new to the show, the format that we will go through is that every year Errol comes on here. I throw out wild scenarios that I have tried to get down to a science that have a degree. They have to have a degree of believability. There was a period I went too much into just for your amusement that had no chance of happening. So we're trying to have a thread of reality here, as wild as some of these scenarios can get. And we will assess how Ariel performed for the past year. Then we will make a new list for 2025. But at the behest of the audience, we have to do a little bit of a catch up here, because a year ago when you were on with us, it was MMA Fighting's own Ariel Helwani.
Oh, yes.
Since that time, the man has taken off the crown. He has gone to Paris to cover the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, AT&T Stadium in November of 2024. One of your most significant career years, would you assess after 2024? You had a lot of significant events in your career over the past 366 days, I guess, is a leap year.
I guess so, especially with the big change in the middle. The Olympics was an unbelievable experience, especially working for the CBC as a Canadian. It was surreal. One of those things that I was nostalgic about while it was happening. Like I was so acutely aware how special all of this and how much fun it was, to be honest. And it really came at a good time, because it was, I don't know, it was just refreshing. It was 1,000% the most challenging experience of my career and also the most rewarding in the sense that, you know, I'm not well versed in the world of swimming and gymnastics and fencing and all these things. And I just had to immerse myself in it. And I was really proud. I will say at the end, it was 18 straight days of shows. So we put out a show that was like 30 to 40 minutes, not in a studio, all over Paris with a very small team, an incredible team of producers. And by the end, I was at zero. I like the tank was so empty. I couldn't even like really speak. And in the midst of all of that came the move from, you know, MMA fighting / Spotify, my two main jobs at the time, to do this partnership with Yahoo Sports and launch Uncrowned. And, you know, it was a lot and it's still a lot. But it's going really, really well. And again, what I'm most proud about is, to me, it wasn't just, okay, where's my show going? It's my show. It's Eric and Connor's show. It's Pete's show. And it's the website. And in total, it's about somewhere in the range of 20 to 24 jobs that we created. I mean, that to me is the thing that I'm most proud of. People that I've worked with over the years that I hadn't worked with for several years that, you know, in the back of my mind, I had like a running list of people that, you know, if I could ever make this thing like the McAfees, like the Lebatards, like the Eisens, like the Dan Patricks of the world, where they own the content and they're able to license it out, like the Pollocks and Tings of the world. You guys did this long before me, if I'm being 1,000% honest. So, and you deserve a ton of respect and credit for that. I wanted to stop building up other people's YouTube channels, and just giving them the content away and not owning any of it. But a big part of it was also the .com. I really wanted the .com, component to have good, you know, good journalism. And I actually just said it, on my show on Wednesday. It's amazing that we're talking literally after, I said this. When I started Jerry Park, as I've told you before, to me, the mountaintop was the Fight Network, because the Fight Network was covering MMA, boxing, and pro wrestling. And I loved that they were covering it all seriously. And it was just this sort of like combat sports hub, if you will. And, I feel like what we're doing at Uncrowned is the 2025 version of that. Obviously different. We don't have rights deals and whatnot. But I'm very, very proud of it. And, it's exciting to see it all come to fruition. And Yahoo's enjoying a moment in that they, you know, they had their ups, they had their downs, and they've really put together a very impressive new leadership team. And, they're giving us, you know, everything that we want and then some. So yeah, it's been good.
When did the notion of creating kind of your own sort of entity, was this a slow process for you in developing this? Was this something that kind of it just fell into your lap and it sort of went from there? Kind of take us to kind of the beginning of the year when we last spoke and how this matures into the decision. Was this a long-term kind of construction on your part?
So the initial dream really started as I was preparing to leave ESPN. And I remember thinking, so this is now 2021, and I was thinking, like, should I just do it now? Because I always was impressed by Simmons and Grantland and then The Ringer and then, you know, what Lebatard did and McAfee and those guys. And that was really becoming a thing, right? And so I thought, okay, should I do it now? But to be honest, it would have been an epic failure if I did in 2021. Like, you know, New York Rick, who's kind of like my right-hand man, he was still at ESPN. He was running their social media for MMA and boxing. I didn't know Connor. I didn't know Mysterious Frank. If your audience is familiar with these people, I didn't know a lot of the people who I was able to connect with over the next 3 years. And so it would have been stupid to do it then. And that's why ultimately, you know, for one reason or another, I was like, no, this is a little daunting, especially after leaving ESPN. And so that's why I did the thing where I pretty much, I kind of equated to someone who is in a long-term relationship and, you know, they break up and now all of a sudden they want to sleep with everyone because I like ended up working for everyone. And some people thought that I was doing that to try and, I guess, I don't know, make up for the salary that I had at ESPN, which is a ludicrous thing. I was just saying yes to everything. And obviously financially that worked out really well for me. But part of it was like, I wanted to experience everything. So I knew exactly where to go. and who I wanted to team up with. And so, by the way, I was just thinking of this. So much has changed in those 3 years since I left ESPN and I did the Vox thing and I did the Spotify thing and Substack and BT Sport and Showtime and Real Sports. Like, think about this. I was just thinking of it. Real Sports, which was a huge deal for me, doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Showtime Sports doesn't exist anymore. BT Sport doesn't exist anymore. And then TNT Sports is no longer the home of the WWE, you know, which I linked up with them. And so those were like three huge, huge ones for me. And they just stopped existing. Ringer and MMA fighting were always the mainstays. And then so approximately like summer of 23, I met a man who is now my agent, Jerry Silbowitz, and he is the agent for Rich Eisen, among many others. And he was the one that really liked, like, you got to do this. You have to do this. This is the roadmap. And he was like one of the first people that I met that I felt like really understood the internet and understood this world, YouTube, podcasts, etc. And so we talked almost every single day. Come January, so really around the time we spoke last year, that's when we started to talk to Vox, and that's when we started to talk to The Ringer, Spotify, and in the end, thank God, like we had four very solid opportunities on the table, all offering and wanting to do the same thing. I had a great feeling about Yahoo, and they really wanted to make the .com thing. They were very interested in that, obviously, because of Yahoo Sports, and then to me, it was like. And I'm being 100% honest. I was like, oh, I could bring this guy with me, who I couldn't if it was just a web thing, right? If it was just a YouTube thing. And that was a huge part. To me, none of this is fun if I can't not bring people with me, but offer opportunities and help build other people up as well. That I get so much joy out of that. Like today I was watching Connor and Eric and they're in the studio that I'm in 3 days a week, but like, I'm like sitting back like a proud dad. I'm like, I love this. So that's always been the fun thing. And that's always the thing I've admired from the likes of Simmons and Levitard and Eisen and McAfee as well. And so, you know, come January, it started to really, you know, kick in, but you know, honestly, and I'm sorry for going long.
No, when I want to hear this.
I left. My goal, I kept telling everyone, I think it was July 23rd. I was like, this is all going to be done July 23rd. And we have a 15th floor at Vox. After my show Mondays and Tuesdays, myself, Eric, Connor, and Frank would just go to debrief there. Honestly, it was the highlight of my day because we would just be, we could chill. And I was like, yeah, July 23rd, I think, you know, it'll be wrapped up and I'll go to the Olympics and I'll go on vacation and we'll be good. And then my last show was July 22nd in the studio. And it wasn't wrapped up and it was still very much up in the air. And so, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. And so, you know, while I'm in France, we're having a million phone calls and it was just like, oh man, I wish I could just focus on the fencing right now, but this is life. And these are the things that I'm going to be thinking about and reminiscing about and being nostalgic about, hopefully when I'm 80 years old. And then, you know, in mid August, we finally found it and here we are. We launched in October. And I think it's going well. What do you think? How do you feel about it? Have you consumed any of the content?
So speaking from like a distance and watching, I mean, we could talk about a lot of the different elements you have incorporated. But yeah. I think for any successful entity, you need that secret sauce. And if I have to give my opinion on the secret sauce to what makes this, it is Pete C. Carroll.
Wow.
This man is, I think this guy is amazing. Your year-end award show. I mean, yeah. This guy is just, first of all, the battles with his microphone, I find to be amazing. But man, the reveal in the tux, first of all, it's like, it feels like he's in studio with you. And here he is a continent away, joining all of you. But no, I think that, like, I've told you before, like, I feel that it is, like, you have reached a certain level with your shows where, as much as you pride yourself, I think, on the guests that you book, you are not guest dependent. I think that just the group of you guys is a huge part. And I think that's a key reason. I think that's something that I've tried to lean on more, that it is like I'll have a guest when it fits. But I'm kind of past the days of just trying to, like, it's exhausting to track down guests so much. And I think, honestly, it's like, for something to succeed, it's the people that are the constants. And I think that's what you're building. Like, you and I have spoken, like, at a time, I thought that was such a great thing about the Fan 590 of Sportsnet, was you had like all these interesting personalities that were all under this one roof, and they had just like created this vibe where I just want to hear the hosts. It's like, yeah, the guests are almost like secondary at times to it. So, I mean, I feel for you, it's probably interesting that you are now kind of in like an executive producer role. How much different is that now from just being like host, booker, and you're working for a company now? Like, this is really your baby that you're overseeing so many aspects to that are probably, you know, just a million different directions.
I appreciate what you said about PT, because it was, you know, I was trying to think, okay, how do we level up a little bit? And, you know, I've known him for a while, and I did the Ringer show with him, but that was audio only. And I think he's an incredible personality. He's very funny. And also, he provides, like, I love Eric and GC. I adore them. And Frank as well, but he's more journalist than they are, right? So he's talking to people. And so there are times where if I want to talk about something happening in Europe or about some prospect or some PFL thing or whatever, like, he knows these people intimately.
The Conor McGregor coverage, like, I thought he was really on top of that. And that's a perspective, like, it's
that we wouldn't have had, you know?
Yeah, like, I think it's been very different the way the Conor McGregor story has been received in the US versus like there in Ireland. Like, it's, and I think that perspective is very important to have, like, on the ground there.
Yeah. And so he was phenomenal with that. And also, he can write as well. And he doesn't think he's a good writer, so he contributes on the website. So I wanted to have a new wrinkle going into the new era. And, you know, as we've discussed, I adore media, sports media, but also I grew up listening to Howard Stern, and the best parts of the Howard Stern show often for me was just the banter among the crew, right? And I always wanted that. And that goes back to 3 years ago, me thinking, oh, am I going to do this on my own? I didn't have any of that. You know, like, PT wasn't as established. Eric was still doing his other job. I hadn't met Connor. I hadn't met Frank. Now I got him, and I'm so thankful for it. I have my team. Like, I'm so proud of them. And I'm so proud to be like a team with them. And I genuinely enjoy being around them. Like, going for dinner afterwards or lunch or just shooting the shit. There's no ego. Everyone contributes. It's just fun, man. I really got lucky. And so that was a huge thing. And,
was that essentially like make or break of you doing this? Like, you wanted like that team, like if push came to shove,
it couldn't work mm-hmm. otherwise. Like, you know, I always want it, back in the early days of the MMA hour, like, Rick was just a guy who reached out to me, right? And I made him into this character by continuously going to him. It goes back to 2001 when I'm at Syracuse University and I'm in the student station at 9 a.m. feeling like I need a person to vibe off of. And I create a character named Lester C. Dearson, who's my producer, who doesn't exist, just so I could talk to someone, because I always felt like I don't feel like I need a co-host, but I love the idea of having a merry band of misfits around you, a team, a unit. Like, that's what I love so much about what McAfee has and what Levitard has. It's never just them. And I've never understood those shows that just make it about them. And so I love when people say, like, my favorite part is you guys shooting the shit. And honestly, oftentimes it's my favorite part as well. I still have that thing where, like, I want the big names, I want the big guests. And I think we give you both of it enough. But yeah, it was very, very important for me. But even when I went to ESPN, like, there was a guy named Corporate Jake who was great, but, like, man, I tried so hard to make him an on-air thing. He just didn't want to do it. So I would just refer to him as Corporate Jake and he would hardly speak. So thank God we found these guys and they've come a long way as well. They've really developed their voice and, you know, executive producer decision, like, we all make the decisions together. Obviously I'm on the front line, so to speak, with some of like the bigger decisions, but I've always kind of, you know, consider myself an executive producer. Like, you know, when I was doing the MMA hour or the Ringer show or at ESPN, like, I was making the toughest part about ESPN was sometimes when they'd be like, we think you should do X, Y, and Z. I'm like, oh, I'm not used to this. So I've always kind of felt like I was the executive producer. And honestly, here we are 3 months in almost as far as like being live, and some 5 or 6 months in, like, they stay out of our way, and that's what they promised that they would do. And I'm very happy for that.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chalk-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Before we get to the list and go through the results, what is your relationship today to the day-to-day news breaking that I'm sure a lot of people first, you know, discovered you along the way? And we're coming off, like, at least in sports media, this is a little like in the weeds, but it's an interesting discussion that's come out of the retirement of Adrian Wojnarowski. And like, there wasn't some scandal. There wasn't, like, he was just totally burnt out and he's opted to do something totally different, going back to his alma mater. And it's also like an insight into the day-to-day 24/7 grind of news breaking at this level that, you know, you were doing like day in, day out. Where would you assess kind of your role to that kind of world today, and like the news that you are actively chasing and how it's just changed over the years, if you feel it has?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's dramatically changed. Like I'm not reaching out about fights. Honestly, I couldn't care less about being first. There was a time where I cared and it was part of my identity. But especially now with multiple shows, and to me, I get more excitement, more, you know, more just like a buzz inside if I could get the first interview per se, as opposed to break the story. For example, like the Punk interview means more to me than breaking the news of Punk signing with WWE, if you sure. get what I'm saying, to compare yeah. like two big things. And I hear of things, and sometimes I'll hear about fights, and this is how far removed I've come from it. Like I'll hear about fights and it won't even register, like, oh, should I confirm this? Should I ask? And then like 3-4 weeks later comes up, I'm like, oh shit, I should have probably asked, but I don't really care. I don't really care in that regard. Now, you know, I'm still talking to people all the time because, you know, a byproduct of booking them is you're constantly talking to managers and fighters and things like that. What's going on? What's this and that? But it's, I don't work for X. I don't work for Twitter. So like to do that doesn't really do much for me. And yes, there's a .com component here, which I'm very proud of, but like we're not really trying to break news per se on Uncrowned. A funny thing about Uncrowned, especially over the holiday, and in particular when it comes to wrestling, like we were doing like a lot of like year in review list stuff. I have nothing to do with any of them. I saw a lot of people going like, look at Ariel's list. Like, and I guess I appreciate the fact that they associate me with Uncrowned so quickly, but I have nothing to do. I'm not writing anything. You know, I'm the sort of executive editor and deciding the direction and who's writing. Shaheen Alshadi is the editor in chief. I'm not voting on those lists. I'm not doing the rankings and all that stuff. And, people getting very upset about some of the stuff. So anyway, all to say, very much focused on like the big picture stuff, obviously the shows, obviously my part. But as far as news breaking, have very little to do with it, want nothing to do with it. Don't get that same excitement out of it. Of course, if John Jones, Tom Aspinall fight date falls in my lap, I'm not shunning it, but I'm just not chasing it as I was at my height in 2016 when I'm, you know, stopping short at you know, maybe sacrificing my firstborn child to get a scoop. That being said, I don't regret it. I don't regret doing my job and doing it correctly and always being right. But golly, it is intoxicating and it could be extremely stressful. And when I read all the stuff that Woj said about why he left, and of course, he's dealing with some health issues and I wish him nothing but the best. He was always very kind to me whenever we you know, crossed paths at ESPN. It spoke to my heart. I didn't want that life. And last thing I'll just say is like, sometimes I would get a little bit perturbed when people would say like, oh, you're the Woj or Schefter of MMA. And I was like, man, I'd like to think I could do more than that. I can host a show. I could do interviews. They don't necessarily do that. And I didn't want to be saddled as like the newsbreaker guy. And so I think I've done a good enough job of separating myself. It's great while it lasted, but it wasn't sustainable and it wasn't fun to do.
This was just a quick paragraph I wanted to read you after Woj left, and SI did this kind of great story on it. And it reads,
oh, yeah.
Cancer didn't force him out, Woj insists, but it did bring some clarity. Quote, I didn't want to spend one more day of my life waiting on someone's MRI or hitting an agent at 1 a.m. about an ankle sprain, he said. In May, Woj traveled to Rogers, Arkansas for a memorial for Chris Mortensen, the longtime NFL insider who died in March from throat cancer. Mortensen spent more than three decades at ESPN when Woj arrived in Bristol in 2017. Mortensen was among the first to welcome him. Many ESPNers made the trip to Arkansas. What Woj was struck by was how many did not. Quote, it made me remember that the job is and everything. In the end, it's just going to be your family and close friends. And it's also like, nobody gives a shit. Nobody remembers breaking stories. In the end, it's just vapor, end quote. And I think that that is not to say that this is not a something that I think takes an incredible amount of skill, but it also, you invest a lot of time into. And I think that it is, you know, it's, there's only a select few that I think can do it. And let's not be too modest here. When there's a Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler drama going on, Ariel still do the occasional flex. You know what I mean? You were kind of all over that.
Yeah, but you know what was funny about that? It had been so long since I broke news. People were like, what do you know about this? Like, where are you? I was like, oh, damn.
these kids.
Yo, there's a lot of kids. Like, that was the first time where I was like, shit, I'm actually kind of old now that people don't remember, you know, breaking all that stuff. And so, like, when I would read things like, who do you know? You don't go to UFC events. I was like, oh, wow. They really are just new. And then the other one that I hear pertaining to what you were just reading is like, oh, you know, the UFC doesn't like you because of the Brock Lesnar story. Like, I tried to repeat this so many times. Like, the Brock Lesnar story was literally the cherry on top. If you think that the relationship dissolved, not to get into all of this again, was just because of the Brock Lesnar story, it wasn't necessarily that. So by saying this, I'm not saying like, oh, you know, I regret it because it ruined a relationship or it led me down this path. But, you know, you do look back and you say, oh, wow, you know, a lot of stress, a lot of time, a lot of conversations, a lot of people being like, hey, man, I love you. But the UFC is saying, you know, hey, if Ariel breaks this, we're going to take this away from you. We're going to do this. I'm like, I don't want to bring that stress on to anyone, and I don't want to bring that on to myself. And so again, I would much rather get the first interview or the big interview. And like on Wednesday, we had this great show with Dave Feldman telling us this amazing story and Matt Hamill talking about his hearing aids. I get so much joy out of that. There's no joy out of tweeting some big news that, you know, let's be honest, an hour later, no one remembers. The only one that people remember is the Brock Lesnar one for some stupid reason. And guess what? If they didn't kick me out that night, no one would have remembered. Not a single person would have remembered that I broke that if it didn't turn into what it turned into. You know this, right?
That's the thing, is that I think that like we kind of are in this bubble about like breaking news, and it's like name any story and who broke it. And it's like to the average fan, it's just they'll remember the news. It's not so much the whole pipeline of it all. But
no.
We are now going to go in and revisit 2024. As always, Ariel, I know that I'm going to preface this by it was you had a good showing in 2024. Okay, so we will start
showing?
With that. We're going to find out at the end. Let's keep that dangling. This is the first scenario I threw out at you, and God knows this became a talking point this year. One of the presidential candidates goes on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Oh wow.
Did that happen
this year?
I believe someone did go on. Ariel said likely. And then you mentioned, did I ever tell you the story about being offered to interview Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah.
On his plane, which did not happen. Did you come close to interviewing any presidential candidates this year?
No, but I would have. We joke about this, but my colleagues like to call me Magawani now. Because I'm not as staunch as they are in my beliefs. This is a whole other topic for a different day, but I probably wouldn't have, to be honest, because I do feel that, if you're going to interview one, you should interview the other. Mm-hmm. I do think that should be a thing. I didn't like some of these things where it was like just Kamala on one, and just, I think that's cool. And I think it's great that Joe tried to get Kamala on the show. Mm-hmm. I think the restrictions that she put on him, or whatever that was a nice way of saying no thanks, because Joe doesn't do that. So it was not offered, and I don't have a problem interviewing a president. Like in that case, that's different. But I think if you're a part of the campaign, you know, in those the election and all that in the final months or so, if you are a journalist and you interview one, you should at least make a very strong effort to interview the other.
Yeah. And I think it's an interesting question of like, are these candidates necessarily looking for the journalists for like, I do feel there is a difference between journalist and just podcaster that it's going to be like, is this going to be something where you are challenged on a lot, or is this going to be largely a promotion? It's tough when you're deciphering between the two. But I do feel there's going to be a difference between like a Donald Trump being interviewed by The Undertaker, and which did happen. And you know, Donald Trump sitting down, with, you know, The New York Times, for instance, and going on The Daily for an extended chat.
Yeah, or 60 Minutes. And that's usually like the high watermark, and it didn't happen. And that was disappointing as well. I will say, I mentioned Stern. I listened to his interview with Kamala Harris. And just as a Stern fan and as a fan, as a super fan of his interviewing, I was extremely disappointed. That wasn't an interview. That was him just literally throwing up softballs and saying statements. And allowing her to then just say like, yeah, you're right. That's not what I expect from him. And that's not what I want from any interviewer. Like, I get it if you're a fan, and I get it if you're a Democrat, all this stuff. I think political media is supremely bizarre. It's so crazy that it's okay to be completely biased in the real world stuff, like the political world, or the, you know, like the fact that there's like a channel that, you know, they're biased about one certain thing. And then there's another channel, you know, they're biased on one, but like sports, you're not allowed to be biased. Oh no. Like if I went on ESPN and was like, yeah, the Knicks are the best during an NBA broadcast, people would be like, you're out of here. You can't be biased on an NBA broadcast, but you're allowed to be biased when it comes to politics. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I get it if you ultimately are voting one way or the other, but can you at least try to keep it down the middle during the interview? I don't know. I think it's a little bit weird.
The next scenario thrown out, a live boxing fight is streamed on Netflix.
Wow. Holy crap.
Ariel said likely. And it did, in fact, happen.
Can I tell you something? Break the fourth wall. I knew at that time.
You did know at that time.
Yeah.
That.
I found out. You know, Jake Paul had the December fight against Andre August. Like it was at a show in Orlando, Carib Royale, small show. Yeah. And then he fought on the Puerto Rico card that Amanda Serrano had to pull out like the night of. And then like a week later, they made the announcement about Tyson in July. And, right. and when the two fights when the first fight was announced in December, when I was talking to them and I was like, what's the plan here? What are we doing? And it was just like, there's these two fights coming up and that's the bridge to the big daddy. And I was like, ooh, all right. I get it now. So by the time we spoke, I knew already.
Well, look,
great. By the way, it's more impressive that you asked the question. To be honest, was that a thing? Was that up in the air? Was that like something being discussed?
I mean, we were coming off the time where, I mean, like Peacock had just streamed its first wild card game. I think there was just overall like a discussion about the more sports we are seeing in streaming. And
did the WWE Netflix deal get
you know what? That was it. Because we did this in late January after the announcement of WWE on Netflix. And that probably fueled that one. The NBA leaves TNT. And you said unlikely. You gave David Zaslav way too much credit to patch this up. They don't need the NBA, but it turned out a bit of a loss. But
AEW.
TNT has not fallen apart at the seams as a result of this, but we will see what a post. How about Shaq and Barkley? They're going to be on ESPN. Is this a good move? Is this inside the NBA in an ESPN environment? Will this
This is the thing. Like, I think it's a fascinating move from a media perspective. Is it actually going to happen as seamlessly as we all think, as it's been presented? I don't know. Those are, you know, four big egos with big contracts with their own, you know, wants and needs. I don't know. I just hope that if it does in fact happen, it's great for us. They let it be what it is, because like compare their halftime show or their postgame show to the ESPN version. It's night and day. I don't know how much you consume, but like it is, the formula is right there, and ESPN has continuously ignored that formula for whatever reason. So I hope if they do go that route that they let them do what it is that they do so well and not try to, you know, change them, ESPN it or whatever you want to say.
Not the NBA consumer that you are, but I will say one of my highlights of 2024, I ended up getting last minute tickets gifted to me for the retirement of Vince Carter's jersey.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Got to take my son to see this. Our tickets were insane. We were right above the players' entrance. They brought back all these Raptors from the early 2000s, like my era of watching the Raptors. One of the most one of my favorite sporting events was just this event.
Wow. How old is your son?
He's 7. Yes.
Did he have any sort of like appreciation for what he was watching?
A bit. He enjoyed like just the size and scope of it all, but he was done by halftime.
Yeah,
after the Vince Carter jersey retirement, that was he was tapping out, but I had a great time.
That was amazing.
Kayla Harrison competes twice in the UFC at bantamweight. Ariel put the thumbs up and said likely. Did you know that one too in January of last year that she would fight twice at 135 pounds?
By the way, was she even announced?
No. I don't think they had announced her yet.
Yeah, I knew about that one. I mean, obviously you never know if she's going to fight twice, but I knew she was coming. Yes. I knew she was going to fight at 300, 135.
If I were to tell you a year ago, yes, she will fight twice and she will make weight at bantamweight, would you have been hesitant or did you feel that ultimately?
Was that not the question?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I did qualify it as bantamweight. You're right. So, yeah, you obviously did believe that that would happen. How about this one? Okay. Think about a year ago where Max Holloway was. All right.
Yeah.
Max Holloway has one fight at featherweight. Yes, he would fight Justin Gaethje at UFC 300, but then he comes back and he fights Ilya Topuria at UFC 308. Ariel said likely that we would see another 145-pound fight with Max Holloway, and we did in 2024.
So even though he had the other one, it still counts?
Yes. All I said was he has to have one fight at featherweight. At featherweight.
Easy.
Mirab Dwalishvili fights for the bantamweight title. This is before the Henry Cejudo fight, beats Cejudo, beats O'Malley. Ariel had no doubt. Mirab Dwalishvili, the man had two fights on his record and had that many more in real time at various arenas as well this past year.
Yes.
John Jones fights Stipe Miocic. You said likely. It did happen. It did happen. They clung to that fight. It happened. And boy, could you not see a guy peace out quicker than Stipe Miocic the second that fight was done.
He was like a 2024 version of Al Snow. Pin me, pay me. Get out of here.
How early did you know Stipe was retiring? By the time we did this a year ago? Because, man, it seemed like this guy had retired well before that fight is what it felt like.
He retired after Ngannou. This came out of it's true. Like, he was not coming back. He was done.
Conor McGregor makes one retirement announcement. You said unlikely, and I did have to dig here. But then there was Conor McGregor on X replying to a fan who suggested there was nothing left for Notorious to do in the sport. McGregor agreed with the fan and simply said goodbye, signaling a possible retirement.
I don't.
McGregor has since deleted the tweet, which is a likely tell that he is in fact not done with MMA just yet. Do we give this one to Ariel?
Yes.
Not an official announcement. Okay.
1,000%.
We will give you that one. Bo Nickel goes undefeated. You said likely, and he did, defeating Cody Brundage and Paul Craig in 2024. How about this one? Bilal Muhammad fights for the welterweight title. You not only said likely, you said he should fight for the title in 2024.
Send that to Bilal.
Yes.
My biggest hater.
Eddie Hearn appears on the MMA Hour 6 times. Now, I'm going to state this. Ariel doesn't let me in on any of his negotiations, so I am going to include the Uncrowned Era with this. Please. Do you think you had Eddie Hearn on 6 times in the past year?
Yes.
4 appearances on the MMA Hour.
Wow.
The November 11th edition of the Ariel Helwani Show. Oh, and November 19th, he comes on the Ariel and Ade Show.
Does that count?
Six appearances. Yes. I considered it. However, you said unlikely.
Oh, wow.
You said unlikely on this 6 times.
You know what? Then I don't count the Ariel and Ade show. I don't think that's fair. That's my other show.
I don't know. I'm giving you the Conor retirement. These are audited likely unlikely scenarios here.
That's such BS. All right, fine.
Roman Reigns is undisputed WWE Universal Champion on April 8th, which would have been the day after WrestleMania. You said unlikely, even though at this time, when it had not been changed, you said, I prefer Roman versus Cody rather than Roman versus Rock, which at this time in late January was the intended direction.
Yeah.
So you get that one. AEW signs a broadcast agreement outside of WBD, Warner Brothers Discovery. You say unlikely, and then you just ask, do you think there's too much AEW TV out there?
Ah,
I can't recall what I stated at the time, but they do have one less hour of TV now
because Rampage
is gone. They have 4 hours of weekly TV.
I'd say that's like two. No, I mean,
you got this. You got this. They signed with WBD. Kazuchika Okada joins the WWE. You thought likely Okada went to AEW instead. TKO branches into boxing. You said unlikely, and you get this one because we're in a new year now where this TKO branching into boxing looks to
be. Wait, I said unlikely?
You said unlikely that they branch into boxing. They're not in 2024. I'm giving you that
one. No, but it's coming.
An extension of UFC's domestic rights agreement with ESPN is announced. This is their contract year. We asked if maybe they will avoid free agency. Unlikely, and there was no deal signed in 2024.
Too soon.
Three title fights go the distance at UFC 300. You said unlikely. The only title fight. We did get three title fights, if you include the BMF fight. Zhang Wei Li and Yan Xiaonan went the distance. That was the only one that did. So another one in your correct column. Francis Ngannou has a rematch with Tyson Fury. You really debated on this one. You went likely, and instead Ngannou fought Anthony Joshua this year.
Damn it.
Kimbo Slice, who is the subject of episode one of Dark Side of the Cage. Have you heard about this new series on Vice?
Oh, yeah. I could give you some insider stuff on that if you'd like.
Could you? I got a screener of this, and I've...
Has it started yet?
I think the time we're recording, it started on Wednesday night. I have not watched the whole episode, but I did see Esther Lynn was one of the many interview subjects in there. Are you in any of these?
I am not, but I think it's okay to say that I had a conversation with them about being the narrator of it. The Chris Jericho of it, I believe it is. But the timeline was a little tight, and it was happening exactly when all this Uncrowned stuff was happening. So. Mm. Sounded great. I was honored. I will say the one thing I said to them was, you know, they were coming to me pretty much at the end of the road, like the end of all the production. So they just needed the voice to be put in. And as someone who prides himself on his journalism, like I felt a little bit funny not doing the work and not knowing the direction, you know, like here I am attaching my name and my voice to a documentary that I haven't produced. So that made me, and I know their history, and I know, you know, the great work that they do. I felt a little funny, all those things combined. Maybe down the line, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Well, the question was if Kimbo Slice would be inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. You really like this option. You said likely, but did not happen.
That would be nice.
Errol Hawani is written about by name in Ronda Rousey's new book, Our Fight, that comes out on April 2nd, written with Maria Burns Ortiz. You said unlikely, and your name did not appear in a follow-up book. Did you happen to peruse this book?
I did not. Did you?
I did.
Really?
Fascinating stuff. I think if you want to understand how Ronda Rousey ticks, this book will give you a lot of insight into a lot of this. It's interesting. It's really interesting. It's the most in-depth you're going to hear her about her losses at the end. You will disagree probably a lot with her thought process. And a lot of fascinating stuff about WWE. Like, she was coming into a world that was just so, I think, counter to what she expected. That, if you remember, the first match, the WrestleMania she did with Kurt and Stephanie and Hunter, like, for a big WrestleMania match like that with a celebrity, yet you're going to rehearse this for weeks and weeks and weeks and prepare. And she kind of thought, that's going to be the basis for all my matches. Like, no, there's going to be, you're not going to have this lead time in preparation for, and stuff is going to change on a whim, especially during that time of WWE where stuff would get ripped up before they go to air. So it just seemed like a really awkward fit, and it left her with, you know, certainly, a real negative feeling toward Vince McMahon, toward Bruce Pritchard, and it's an interesting book. I found it to be.
It looked like an awkward fit as well. Did you read her first book?
I did read her first one. Yeah,
I thought it was a great book. I thought that book was really well written because her sister, ghostwriter, or is she not the ghostwriter? I mean, it's with her, right?
Yeah,
but like she lived through these things, so like you could tell there's an intimacy there. I'm sure there's. It seemed like she, you know, was really honest in the second book, but it didn't really speak to me. I still remember till this day. That was a period where I wasn't watching wrestling so much, but obviously with Ronda coming in and whatnot, I thought the way that debut match was booked was so weird because here you have someone with a finisher that's already over. Like everyone knows, you slap on the armbar, it's lights out. It's the equivalent of the DDT for Jake the Snake. You don't kick out or the stun or whatever. And I think Stephanie kicked out of it like three times, or at least there was a struggle.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, the thing's not over anymore if the CEO of the company or whatever her title is, who's not an active wrestler, is able to fight through this thing. So I thought that was a mistake. Sadiq, it should have been like, it should have been automatic, like Taz, right? Like, remember when Taz would snap on, what was it, the FTW or whatever it was? Like, you snap that on, boom, lights up.
Hachime, yes.
That's what it should have been. Anyway, sorry.
Sadiq Youssef, who was kind of just lighting up with his YouTube channel at this time, works the desk for ESPN as an analyst. You liked the idea, but you were being a realist, and you said unlikely, and that was accurate. Scott Coker joins Ryzen. You said unlikely. Scott Coker joins One. You laughed out loud. Definitely unlikely. Neither of those happened. Nate Diaz fights specifically for the UFC. Another unlikely from Ariel, which did not occur. Juliana Pena fights Kayla Harrison. You said likely. You thought it would happen. Maybe in the new year.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Conor McGregor fights. You said not only likely. Easy one. He's going to fight. How depressing would that be if he doesn't?
Man, we were 2 weeks away. You know, it was on the books. You know, but
those,
yeah,
those toe injuries.
Yeah.
Israel Adesanya fights Alex Pereira. At any weight, you were unlikely on this one. You didn't see them pushing that one. Did not happen. Neil Magny fights four times. He had already gotten in one fight by the time we did the prediction show. You said unlikely. You said he probably gets three with so many on the roster. The guy fought three times this year.
Oh.
So there you have it. UFC puts a title fight on its inaugural event in Saudi Arabia on June 22nd. You said likely, and they did go with Robert Whittaker, Ikram Aliskarov. WWE and UFC promote a dual pay-per-view weekend in one location, whether it be domestic or internationally. You thought unlikely, and we have yet to see that occur yet, where they have put two pay-per-views back-to-back in the same location. Tom asked,
we have seen like pay-per-view Raw or SmackDown.
Yes, show, yes, we have that one, yeah, but I did put the dual pay-per-view, so okay, I'm giving you this one. Tom Aspinall becomes the official heavyweight champion by the end of 2024. You thought unlikely, and that is a correct prediction. What was not a correct prediction? The UFC antitrust trial beginning on April 15th. You thought likely, and we did not get the antitrust trial. Nor did we get Don Davis investing, taking stock in his favorite fight matrix rankings. You thought unlikely that would happen. Don Davis might come up in this year's predictions. And with the word coming out, with the word coming under such scrutiny by its fan base, UFC renames its shoulder program that is currently titled UFC Unleashed. Which was my contribution to the UFC press conference discourse, and a wonderful flock of fans alerting me to
that. Oh, yes.
That, you said, unlikely. That was for my own amusement.
By the way, did I get the joke?
You definitely got the joke. Okay, because it was fresh off. That was our we had a common occurrence there. So we go to the judges' tally now, and I've actually got to redo this because we had the additional one that you got.
I feel like this might be my best year ever.
Well, you are about to get the official percentage here. So you came in at a solid 76% correct. This now being your best year since 2019 when you hit your all-time high of 84%.
Yeah.
So you really did beat the coverage here. 76%. I mean, prognosticator Helwani coming in full force in 2024. You're setting the bar high for 2025.
Do you know how many times I've ever gotten in the 80s?
You got in the 80s. Actually, you had back-to-back years in the 80s. You did 2018 and 2019. You did 80% in 2018, 84% in 2019.
Is this the third best?
This would be, of the ones I have here, yes. This would be your third highest.
All right.
So you'll take it.
Let's go.
2025, we've got a lot to run through here. Right off the bat, we're talking, this is on Friday, going into Wild Card Weekend. It's a simple one. The Buffalo Bills, likely or unlikely, in 2025.
Super Bowl champs?
That's it. All the way.
I thought you were just asking if they're going to beat the Broncos. The answer has to always be likely. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. By the way, I can't wait for you to replay for this for me next year. Be like, remember when I asked you and you were right? It's going to be great.
Maybe we'll have Chuck Mendenhall join us and by the wild card race. So I did a first here. I got three scenarios submitted by the one, the only, New York Rick.
You know, I had a feeling this was coming because he said that you DM'd him, and I was like, oh, why did he DM you? And I was like, he's like, oh, he just wanted to say hi. I'm like, eh, something's up here.
Oh man, so. Look at him. Just can't. I told him I was keep anything confidential. Can't.
Yeah.
Look at that. Nottingham Forest finishes higher in the standings than the Knicks. This was his scenario.
This is okay.
I hope I can decipher different sports in the standings here.
Well, okay, so
we're going to go by percentage, okay? Percentage in their
meaning like their win percentage?
Yes.
Okay, so I hate to get in the weeds here with you, but
please, because I have no idea.
So the Premier League has 20 teams in it, right? The English Premier League has 20 teams, and it's a great model because the bottom three teams then get relegated to the Championship, which is the league below. Kind of like if, you know, like the Raptors got relegated to the G League, if you will, right? If they were horrible. All the teams, there's no divisions or conferences, right? There's just one big league. So there's no Eastern Conference, Western Conference, Atlantic Division, all this stuff. And so when you ask me, do they finish higher? Is it finishing higher overall? So I guess we could do this as like there's, I think, 32 teams in the NBA, if not 30. I always mix them up with the other leagues. Are we going to say that the Knicks, let's say they finish fourth? And so right now, by the way, Forest is having an unbelievable season. They're second place, tied for second. It's absurd.
As are the Knicks. I know
as are the Knicks, but that's in the Eastern Conference.
Mm.
Overall, they're not because the Cavs, Celtics, Thunder all have better records. So I guess what we're asking is overall, who finishes higher in the standings, right? Knicks or Forest? I'll say Knicks.
Okay. I will decipher this all in a year from now.
And we could go over it, but I'll say the Knicks.
New York Rick also asks, the UFC announces a deal, some portion of its deal with Netflix.
Oh, I figured you were going to just ask this one. You have to get this from Rick?
Listen, are you
that much out of the MMA game?
I was hoping for, I'll be honest, okay? He's not going to be listening to this. I was hoping for like some inside stuff to pop you here.
He
came with some more broad stuff. In his defense, he did apologize for the lack of creativity and praised the amount that I have to dig every single year to come up with these scenarios, okay? It's not as easy as it sounds, folks.
It's not. And he's 1,000% going to be listening to this, and I'm not even going to mention it, and then he's going to text me about it. You'll see. He'll listen to it on like double the speed too, because he's a freaking psychopath. Do you do that with podcasts?
I totally do that.
Really?
Oh yeah, I listen. I don't ever listen to one time the speed.
That blows my mind.
It's also how I watch TV as well. It's
just, really?
Oh yeah.
Is that because of wrestling?
Yeah, I just it's everything now.
Beneficial.
1.3x the speed. That's the sweet spot. Time is a commodity, Ariel.
So like you'll watch wrestling matches like that?
Everything, yeah.
Do you tune in late so that you could watch it like that?
Yes.
So like what do you wait?
MMA I watch in real time. MMA I watch in real time.
But like wrestling, like let's say WrestleMania. If you're not there.
If I'm not there, I would probably the pay-per-views are sometimes more constrained that you sometimes will have to watch. It's not they're the odd time you watch it live. But your rank and file Raw, yeah, I start like at 8:45 and catch up. Yeah.
And what about a movie?
If I'm watching it on a streamer, yeah, I'll increase the speed.
Wow. Wild. Anyway,
do you think less of me now?
No, it's like blows my mind.
If you tried it, it would be a game changer.
Okay, fine. I'll give it a shot. I've never tried podcasts even like that because I like to listen to everything. But I do admit it's like almost overwhelming how much I want to listen to and don't get to and then forget about. In any event, UFC on Netflix is a question, some portion, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the entire thing.
I'll say likely.
Okay. And Rick's final one here. Tom Aspinall fights John Jones.
Oh, he's the worst. What? The first one was nice, but like...
Hey, I'll say this for the creative. I didn't have any of these, to be quite
really?
Honest.
Really?
I didn't go for any
UFC
of these.
UFC on Netflix, I thought would be a layup. I'll say... Please remember that I don't feel good about this, but for now, I'll say likely.
Okay. Let's get into it, okay, folks? I've been having this document open for 2 weeks, okay? Trying to really rack my brain, okay? Really, really get you thinking, okay? To officially kick off the year of MMA news. Let's just get to it. Bellator dissolved, fully absorbed by PFL. Bellator is no more.
Yes, likely.
Gone.
Gone.
The Global Fight League holds two events. Not one, two events.
Unlikely.
I know you rolled out this whole announcement on your show. You don't have to comment.
I didn't roll out nothing. They wanted to come on. God bless. That was a
well,
that was
feel free to join. I think this idea is total insanity.
No.
Absolute insanity.
Oh yeah, I said it straight to them. I don't believe in it. It's flawed.
So you're saying unlikely to two events?
Yeah.
Do you think one event? One event. They'll get to the one.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I couched it at two.
I know.
Two
know.
We will
three
see.
Three would have been the easier one to answer. Two's tough. Affliction had two, you'll recall, but I'll go with unlikely.
All right. We know that over at Uncrowned, you cover boxing, MMA, pro wrestling. Some might call that the big three, but the real big three, the trinity of combat sports. Can Paige VanZant do it this year? I'm talking BKFC, Global Fight League, and Power Slap, a fight in all three promotions in one calendar year.
It's a great question because, I mean, yeah, I'd never even thought of it that way. David Feldman told me just on Wednesday that she has one fight left and she's going to honor it. Seems like she's found a thing in Slap, and I don't think you really need to train for that, right? Like, you just kind of show up.
I would love to know what the training is for Power Slap.
Yeah. And then GF, also, I'm just going to say unlikely just because it's
tough. Many, but if she pulls this off, I mean, fighter of the year.
She
right
actually, there. Yeah, it's true. She's like, she's right there. You know, she's the Ben the Bane Davis. You know Ben the Bane Davis?
Yes, yes.
Of that world, because he just shows up everywhere, but she actually, you know, competes for some of these.
Stipe Miocic inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. And this would have to come with him showing up at the UFC Hall of Fame.
That's a great one. I'm going to say unlikely. Dana never forgets.
Okay. Well, maybe will everyone forget about Stipe Miocic? Will he
no.
be dark side of the cage?
No, but...
I love these fighters that they finish and it's like, see you later. I'm
yeah.
done.
Yes.
I love it. John Jones, zero fights in 2025. Doesn't get into the octagon. Nothing.
I'll say unlikely.
Okay. Now this one, I had come up with the scenario, and then you dropped a bit of a hint towards the answer here. We'll see if you what you know. You'll tell us in a year from now. Muhammad Makhachev is back in the UFC. Flyweight that was shunned mm-hmm. out as a division that is desperate for contenders. Do they make nice and bring him back?
Unlikely. Like I said. They hold a grudge. I know from experience, and I know there are people who are actively trying to get him in, and there doesn't seem to be interest.
So is this going to be his career fighting for Brave and overseas?
Man, I mean, just ask Paul Daly. Like, they hold a grudge, and you could say like Paul wasn't a nuisance behind the scenes, but you know they made the decision and they stuck to it.
Is there a hope in hell that today that happens with a Paul Daly and they fire him over that? The punch in Montreal?
No, I know. If he's Paul Daly level, like who's Paul Daly level? Like, I don't know, Joaquin Buckley, right?
Sure.
Like I'm saying like a top five welterweight, because he was fighting Koscheck that night. Depending on how they,
I don't think they even bat an eye. That's my thought. I mean, maybe
well,
I'm
my
not
point is,
enough.
If they don't like him, they'll use it as the
right.
reason to get rid of him. If it's yeah. a guy that they love, no,
yeah.
don't bat an eye.
All right, this was a big moment in 2024. Again, I will direct people to the Uncrowned yearly MMA awards. Brian Battle fights in France again.
That would be promotional malpractice if they don't do it. I say likely.
So it's if you did not see this post fight promo, it was unbelievable. You compared it to like the Sheik or Volkov in Madison Square Garden, and it was very much that. It was tremendous. Francis Ngannou competes for TKO's boxing promotion.
Ooh.
In association with Saudi Arabia.
Unlikely.
I did want to ask you about this. What are, because you are well more in the boxing world, like what are the challenges you see for TKO in Saudi Arabia? Like, this is not the WWE or UFC where they're just going to have this incredible control from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Like, do you see this as something like they're going to have the backing? There's a reasonable level of pathway to success, or do you think there's going to be a lot of challenges?
I don't think there'll be a lot of challenges, but I also don't think, look, you have to remember Turki Alsheikh, who I consider right now to be the most powerful man in combat sports. We've never seen someone have that much influence in MMA, boxing, and wrestling at the same time. It's kind of insane when you think of it. Like it's a real changing of the guard.
Especially with TKO. I mean, from all, like, yes. it's such a, like, they are as
power
embedded
with WWE,
together.
Royal Rumble moving over there, even like the Sphere show that, mm-hmm. you know, they helped, you know, invest in and all that stuff and all the shows that they're doing with UFC and whatnot. He has his Riyadh season thing and his deals with the likes of Queensberry and Matchroom and, Boxer and Golden Boy, etc. And then he also just bought the Ring magazine. And so I think that this, endeavor, pardon the pun, won't necessarily compete. Like, they're not going to all of a sudden do Fury Usyk 3 or Fury Joshua. They're going to walk before they run, and they're going to build it up. And it might be smaller in scale to those mega events. Like, they have a mega event coming up on February 22nd, but it will be their first foray for TKO, and, you know, Dana finally gets involved, and, you know, Nick Khan obviously has a background in boxing dating back to his days representing Freddie Roach and Manny Pacquiao. This will be their foray into that world. And they have a great relationship with Turki, and he loves boxing. And it's just right. We always said, right, TKO, they picked that name. It wasn't just by coincidence. They had the two pillars, and there's one pillar missing. And some might say they saw the success of Uncrowned and said, oh, you know, they've got the three pillars. Why don't we have the third? I don't know. You tell me. These are what people are saying. So
I look at it as more of a quadrant, because professional bull riding is also in there as well.
Oh, well, Slap too.
Slap. Well, it's weird. Like, Slap is, it's as much a UFC product, but it's not in this whole TKO mix for whatever reason.
You know why? Because Lorenzo is also involved with Slap, and I actually think that his involvement, like, I don't, you know, Dana also is involved in the SLS skateboarder thing.
Yeah.
And that's outside of TKO too. So it's, they kind of differentiated in that regard. TKO is UFC and WWE.
So would you see something more akin to like TKO puts together a card, builds up these stars, rather than they're bidding for the biggest fights? To at least in like phase
to
one,
to a degree, but I wouldn't be surprised if like a Terrence Crawford, for example, Terrence Crawford is a promotional free agent, if you will. He isn't tied to any one of these guys. A, B, he has a relationship with Turki Alsheikh. He's an ambassador. C, he has a relationship with WWE. Right, you saw him in the front row.
Right.
D, he has a relationship with UFC. He often trains at the Performance Institute. So like that. In my mind, I think like, oh, Terrence Crawford might be the face. Also, he's arguably the pound for pound number one fighter in the world as my screen goes off behind me. You know, he's top three. It's him, it's Usyk, and it's Naoya in a way. So like, I could see them saying, oh, you, but like a Fury, for example, or a Joshua, they're entrenched with their promoters. They're not leaving those guys. And so they're going to have to find free agents, and they're going to have to build people up, and they're going to have to be open for business with others. Like the idea, or the concept, because I've always said UFC is much more like WWE than Golden Boy or PBC, in that they say you only work for us and no one else. This is going to have to be different. And look, Turki is the example. Turki has completely redefined what is boxing by saying, no, you two hate each other. You two promoters hate each other. No, you're going to work together now. And so I think he brings that kind of mentality to whatever this is, as opposed to the old WWE and UFC mentality.
Did you give an answer for Ngannou competing in this boxing.
Oh, no, no.
Unlikely. Yeah. Okay. Alex Pereira takes a heavyweight fight in 2025.
Ooh, that's a good one. Unlikely.
Dakota Dichova makes her UFC debut.
Unlikely.
Hamzat Chimaev fights on U.S. soil.
I'll say likely.
Jake Paul fights again on Netflix. Is this a Ringer question? I mean, if you can't disclose, you can't disclose. But I mean,
why do you say Ringer?
no, I was not trying to draw any inference with that wording. But let's just throw it out. Jake Paul has another fight on the Netflix platform.
This is the truth, and you could bring it up. I don't have insider knowledge on this one. But I will say, given how well the first one did, I say likely.
I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
I would be.
It's a no-brainer.
A UFC contracted fighter has a fight that is streamed on Netflix. Doesn't have to be a UFC event. It's just somebody that is under a UFC contract is able to compete, whether it be boxing, whether it be a one-off, anything. We'll even extend this to WWE, which is opening up the gates here as well. But someone under a UFC contract has a fight / WWE match on Netflix this year.
Like a shoot fight?
Yes. But like
it's not like them appearing on Raw.
I'll include a worked wrestling match on Netflix.
Any type of...
Yeah, we'll open it up. They have some kind of competition on Netflix.
I was going to say unlikely until you said that. I'll say likely. Don't feel good about it, but I'll say likely.
ESPN hires new analyst Demetrius Johnson.
I thought you were going to say Ariel Helwani. Nah, he loves his thing. He loves being independent. So no.
Going back to our discussion earlier, not to take you off on all these sidebars, but I think Demetrius Johnson and this scenario kind of encompasses a lot of like media now. It is way more advantageous for him to do his own thing. He owns everything. It's his studio. He controls everything versus working for a big company that you will be. I just think a lot of media are going to be going this direction of I'm going to have my own thing. I'm not at the mercy of media contractions. It's like, I will always have my home base. I can do freelance stuff. I can work on ESPN, but I've got my media center. And I think that's where so many are going to go.
If you've reached a certain point, 100%.
Yeah.
For a guy like DJ, like he doesn't need it and he doesn't want to be told what to say, what not to say. He's got a great thing going. Like it's, and by the way, from even when I was at ESPN till now, the industry has changed so much to where initially like they were against it. And now you see Stephen A. Smith is their biggest star. And even he has his own YouTube channel and his own show that has nothing to do with ESPN. So the game has changed and for the better, I would say, because it's less restrictive for people like, you know, myself, yourself, DJ, you know, creators, if you want to call us that.
Continuing his run of podcast appearances into 2025, Dana White appears on Talk Tua with Haley Welch.
Is that still a show?
So, first of all, I will say this about the Hawk Tua girl made about as incredible a leap from viral moment to somehow creating this celebrity for her. Unfortunately, she ran into this crypto scam that may have torpedoed her career. And I don't know if she's done a show since then. I don't know what the status is of a Talk to a.
I'll say that he stays away.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
We will find out. Don Davis leaves the PFL.
Unlikely.
Unlikely.
He ain't jumping off that ship.
No. If he were to depart, would he post an announcement on LinkedIn and give the reasons as to why he's leaving?
God bless.
These damn fighters complaining. They're ruining my company. Well, if you're saying unlikely, you're probably saying unlikely to this because my next one was Shannon Knapp is hired by the PFL.
Oh.
We can still throw this one out. It doesn't have to be one replacing the other. Just hired by the PFL.
I say unlikely. I think she likes her thing.
What
a survivor Shannon Knapp is, huh?
Unbelievable. I mean, when you look at the history of her, that goes way before Invicta as well.
Yeah.
Patchy Mix fights for the UFC bantamweight title.
Unlikely. thought you were going to just say fights in the UFC, but that's a bridge too far.
That's a one step. I like to go the two steps ahead where this has to happen and then something else has to happen.
Yeah.
Mauro Ranallo calls a WWE match.
Mm.
Made his return to pro wrestling recently for Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling.
Can I tell you something about that? I got to work with Mauro again, which was a great thrill on Netflix. It was great to see him. He was in great spirits. He was in fine form. Love, adore Mauro. And Frank Shamrock was with him as well, his manager, which is always a funny thing to me. And I look around the room. I'm like, I wonder how many of these people know like who that guy is, you know? And we were catching up a little bit. And he mentioned doing the Maple Leaf show. And I was like, what? Really? You're doing wrestling? He's like, you're not following my career anymore. I'm like, I didn't know. It was like, you know, like that show was like mid-October and this is like early. I'm sorry. But I went back and watched. I love what they're doing. I'm a big fan of Scott D'Amore and of his story. And I'm a really, I really hope that they succeed. And that name, Maple Leaf Wrestling, reminds me of being a kid. So it's very, very cool. And I hope it has a tremendous, you know, lifespan and success. That being said, he does not do a WWE show. Unlikely.
Going back to our media discussion, Stephen A. Smith's new deal with ESPN is non-exclusive and launches his own digital company.
Mm.
Much in the way of a Pat McAfee type of.
So like he has his YouTube show now and all that. Does that count or no?
Is that just his own company?
Totally him, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's a misnomer then. We'll scratch this one. But I
guess the question then is, if he signs, is it non-exclusive? And I say yes.
Okay, let's leave it at that then. Yeah. It's a non-exclusive deal that he signs with ESPN.
Now, and by the way, when I say non-exclusive, I don't mean like he could show up on FS1. But you know what I mean? Like he could still do his YouTube channel. He can do political stuff. It's not just he's only ESPN.
He gets the Errol Hawani deal. Okay,
I don't know. I didn't have that deal from ESPN. I wish I had that deal.
You own content, man. That's that's easier said than done in this industry to be able to.
So do you. Stuff.
Look at that. We're just rolling here.
Yeah.
Someone who is not rolling, Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Real American Beer lasts the entire year as a WWE sponsor.
So, okay, I'm going to say unlikely. And I'm also going to ask you, when I saw that press release Monday morning, I legit had never heard of Real American Beer. And then my next thought was, you know, I feel like TKO and Endeavor, and like they're rolling right now. They can almost do no wrong. And they've got, you know, there's Fortnite there and there's Prime. Could they not have gotten like Bud Light or Modelo or something? Like real American beer, really? It was surprising.
I'll say this. Like, if they're going to make a deal with Real American Beer, which, I mean, he has been pushing this thing. Like, the beer that is unapologetically American. Like, it's hardly...
I've never heard of it.
Well, they're doing a great job then getting the word out. Like, this to me is... If ever there is a UFC sponsor, it's Real American Beer. And I think they are like, this would be way below their clientele of sponsor as well. And WWE, as much as, you know, we look at the UFC and it's very hard to divorce like the political messaging on UFC, WWE has been as apolitical as possible during the whole era of Donald Trump. And this was one time where here's a guy that a lot of fans still hold a lot of resentment for over the racist rant. And you couple this with all the MAGA stuff. It's just everything together in this. It all culminated in this segment where, like, this WWE audience, they're pretty much accepting of everything these days. And this was a firm rejection. And it was, I was surprised that it was this vehement that he received that.
I was surprised that it was that loud. I wasn't surprised that people were booing, especially there in California and whatnot. But I also kind of felt, and correct me if I'm wrong, everything about that show felt so new age. Like even the arena felt new age, right? With all the lights and everything, this incredible 21st century brand spanking new arena, the Intuit Dome. And then he walks out with that music and with the same old shtick and Jimmy Hart and the flag. And people are like, I don't want this. You know what they wanted? They wanted Travis Scott smoking a joint. You know what I mean? That's what they wanted. They didn't want 1984 Hulk Hogan with the flag doing the same old shtick and the shirt and all that and what he represents. So I'm saying, I think it was all those things.
I think it was everything that is combined to be the Hulk Hogan brand in 2025 that this this audience has totally rejected. Like, it is something from the past that they just do not want.
And you're right. This audience is usually very welcoming to the legends, right? Like, they love nostalgia. I mean, look at the Taker bit, which kind of felt like it was out of nowhere. I guess, you know, he was giving Rhea the rub and putting her over, which is cool, fine. I didn't care. But, you know, like, they love this stuff. You know, they watch Royal Rumble praying that, you know, the gobbledygooker shows up. So, yeah, it was fascinating. And I guess the big question then is, you know, he's been a part of these promos for the next Saturday night's main event in San Antonio. Will he be a part of it? I don't know how you bring him back.
I think they will. Because I think they will. I am surprised that they have gone into the extent that they're like a minority owner in this beer. Because I don't think like they are living and dying with Hulk Hogan. And I think it's almost the idea that this was like, if you look at all these outlets that covered that show Monday, it was this Hulk Hogan thing. And I think the idea of putting him on NBC, there's going to be a curiosity of like, how will the audience react to this guy? And maybe you camouflage it. You put him in backstage segments. There's a way to do it.
Man.
I don't see them pulling him. Ultimately.
Does he turn heel?
I mean, sure. I mean, like, what are we doing? Like, what is it? Like, I don't sense a whole lot of value to Hulk Hogan in this era with this audience. I mean, maybe he's reserved for, you know, Colby Covington walkouts in TKO.
What's the equivalent? What's the equivalent of Sergeant Slaughter turning heel in 1991? That all of a sudden he's like walking around with a Canada flag?
Maybe they should rebrand him as a Democrat.
Or that. Or I guess that's it. Let's go with that. Oh, my God.
Okay, we only got a few more here. I know that I've Ariel's quickly tapping the watch.
No, I'm not.
Brock Lesnar appears on WWE programming.
Likely.
You think he comes back? Do you think he would be received well?
That's a great question. I think he'd be better received than Hulk. I was listening. Eric Bischoff. I was listening to his post Raw recap with Conrad Thompson, and they had mentioned that Brock's name was brought up and he's on the website and all that. So those are usually some signs, but I feel like at some point this year we see him again. What do you think?
I tend to think no, just that the fact is I think they probably could have used him this last year, and I think there would have been some resistance to him, but largely I think he would have been received. And a part that no one brings up that is kind of interesting is, what is Brock's payout in this whole antitrust thing? Like, he has got stupid money that is, you know, he's now like well into his 40s. He's saved a ton and he's getting this giant payout. Like, he's going to be one of the largest beneficiaries of this antitrust payout. He doesn't need it. And WWE doesn't need him either at the moment. It's been very clear. Hunter's been very careful when asked, like, he's not ruling it out, and it's a card I guess you can play, but it does come with risk with his, you know, he's not a defendant in the lawsuit, but, you know, he is referred to in it.
Do I think he comes tomorrow? No. I mean, I guess Rumble could be a thing. I just think in the next 360 whatever or 356, I think he pops up.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, as myself and Wei Ting will be providing full shows containing news of the day, questions, and so much more going live on those nights for patrons. Plus, we will have coverage of Wrestle Kingdom 19, Wrestle Dynasty, The People versus GCW, TNA Genesis, a Rewind Away retrospective on the Ric Flair-Ricky Steamboat feud of 1989, all of your regular shows, a Daredevil primer, and throughout the month of January, you get a free month if you sign up for an annual subscription. $6 a month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
Dana White appears on screen at one of the nights of WrestleMania in Las Vegas.
Ah, that's a great one. Like in the crowd or something?
Some appearance. He's in the front row. He's somewhere.
I'll say likely.
Okay. Are you going to WrestleMania?
As of right now, I don't know. Are you?
No, I don't think so. Not going to do it this year.
As of right now, we're not sure. Okay. Let's see.
Vince
McMahon. You know, obviously, I don't have the same. I'm not doing the BT stuff anymore, so it's different.
Vince McMahon is interviewed, and being under oath does not count.
Like, he just does a sit down?
He is interviewed somewhere. He makes a public appearance for some kind of interview, whether it is image rehab, something.
Unlikely. I don't think he could pull it off, to be honest. Like, those interviews at the end were kind of rough.
Yeah, it's an added point. I mean, he's got a lot ahead of him this year. Okay, this one is a bit of a out of left field, and you might be shaking your head, but let's see. Nick Khan leaves his position at WWE.
Wow, that's a big one.
The merger's done. The TV deals are done. We're on Netflix. How much more is there to do? Does he leave at this stage and go on to the next thing? I've never viewed WWE as his end goal, like the last chapter. And you can argue all the pieces are in place. This company is red hot.
Yeah.
Leave now.
I think, like I said, I always said, I think we've talked about it. Like, he ends up being like head of Marvel or DC or Disney, like something massive. But I don't think it happens this year.
Okay.
I think there's still some things, you know, this boxing thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, you know, the boxing thing has just come up. But this summer will be 5 years he's been in this company.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. By the way, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like they're starting to show him a little bit more.
Well, this past week, I mean, he's certainly been much more of a behind
NXT,
the scenes.
He was in the front row, right, with Paul Levesque. And then even like on social media, I felt like they were showing him, like not like spotlighting him, but if you know who he is, he's right there, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the early days, they weren't doing that as much.
He's not on any of like the investor calls anymore, which those used to be, I mean, he used to just dominate those. Like,
yeah.
So
who is? Oh, it's Shapiro, right?
It's Mark Shapiro, and Ari does like an opening statement, and Mark Shapiro's a character in and of itself.
Former ESPN executive.
Yes. After multiple appearances in 2025, Donald Trump doesn't appear at one UFC event. Not one.
I'll say unlikely.
Okay. We're getting to the end here. That means we're getting in the weeds. Okay, folks.
Oh, yeah.
So
I like these.
Scrap up. Joining Ariel Helwani. I usually refrain from guests appearing on your show because always go likely, but you are joined by Carl Froch.
I'll say likely.
Likely?
You think? Yeah.
Where are things? Are we...
Carl and I aren't in a great place at the moment. I think he even nominated me for his Clown of the Year. You know, just an honor. Could you imagine 10 years ago, here I am, nobody in this business, and I'm getting talked about in such a nice way by the great Cobra himself. Listen, I've reached out to him. I sent him a DM. He left me on scene. I reached out to someone who knows him. I invited him. I invite all these people on. And when push comes to shove, I don't know what they're so afraid of. I love when they say to me like, oh, I'm not going on your show. Come on my show. Like, you don't have a show. You just have a YouTube channel where you post. I don't even know if you do like live interviews. And so that's why I say, how about this? One step further. We'll simulcast it on your thing. Like, all you need is that little code there and like you'll, no. So nevertheless, I say yes.
Like, for the second year in a row, the UFC is the winner of Ariel Helwani's poster of the year.
Probably the upset of the year is that. I think I was blown away. I had to look and I was like, there's got to be something else. But no, they nailed it. Absolutely not. Unlikely. This was an anomaly.
A flash in the pan. Noche UFC. It only happens once in a generation.
Santino Marella in Milan. This was the 1-2-3 kid.
The Super Bowl is coming up, Ariel.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Roger Goodell always hosts a Q&A with the media in advance of the game. Mark Raimondi gets a question in during the media availability.
Wow, that's a great one. What a fun one. And shout out to Mark Raimondi, NWO book coming out.
That's right. That is coming out.
Have you guys had him on yet?
No, we have not had him on yet.
Okay, because he was doing some interviews I saw. I can't wait to read that. I can't wait to read. I mean, a couple of times Chuck had a book, a Ben Askren book, but it's not often that you say like, oh, my friend wrote this, you know? I'll say unlikely. I don't even know if he's going to go. I guess he's probably
going
to go.
Yeah, I have no clue if he's even going to cover the Super Bowl or not. This one's, you just unlikely. Throw a dart out there and see what's going to happen.
It would be nice.
Yes. A Mitrione Minute in 2025.
Maybe a month and a half or so ago, I texted with Matt Mitrione for the first time in years, which was really nice and warmed my heart, but I'll say unlikely.
How does that go? How is that first text? Like, hey, what's up?
He always used to call me AH, and I don't remember what the spark was. It might have been asking me about the class action or something. That usually I get a lot of those. And he's like, yo, AH, something. And then it's just like, how's life? How's this? And he was telling me what he was doing and his family. And I reminded him that he was the first person, believe it or not, outside of my mom, dad, brother, sister, in my quote-unquote friend circle that I told that I was going to be a dad.
Wow.
We were that close. And I remember where I was when I told them I'm going to be a dad. Yeah. So I just reminded of, because we were talking about how old our kids are now. So yeah, crazy.
Can you believe it's been 14 years since he was on Tough?
That's crazy. Yeah, 2010.
No, 15 years, I think.
15 in September.
Yeah. Wow.
Crazy.
And the last scenario.
Oh, yes.
The first draft of Highway to Helwani is written somewhere in a notes app on your laptop, something. It doesn't have to be published. You don't even have to have a book deal, but you write a draft.
Wow. And does it have to be start to finish?
A chapter. A chapter.
Just one chapter.
Just a chapter.
Likely.
Okay. I'm pushing you towards this.
There might be one before that one.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. The truck stop to Helwani. We gotta move up the on ramp to the highway to Helwani.
Is it possible that the career still, like, would it be premature to do the tell all, you know?
You know, Edge wrote a book when he was like a couple years into the WWF, and like 22 years ago. So
yeah, so did The Rock. Right. The Rocks was like, think
brutal,
about all this
brutal
the
book.
Yeah. It was during that era with like Foley and China and Ryan. It was one of the, yeah.
Those are the scenarios, but I have also made it a bit of a habit to introduce a game. Okay. So this will be quick. This is a game. You might be familiar. When we were growing up, there was a game called F, Marry, Kill. And I'm not going to be putting you through F, Marry, Kill, but instead this is going to be called Call, Book, Block. Okay. So I'm going to give you three names and you're going to have to assign which one you would just call up out of the blue, like a Matt Mitrione, just to chat, one that you would specifically book as a guest on your show, and the other that you would just block completely.
Love it.
Want nothing to do with. Okay. So we have three sets of names. Let's see how this goes. Number one, the scenario: Call, Book, Block. Sean McCorkle, Jamal Hill, Tito Ortiz.
Wow.
I'm throwing this at Ariel cold.
Yeah.
He had no preparation for this.
I'll go, and call is just like shoot the breeze with,
just
right?
Not for recording, just for a catch up on the phone.
Call McCorkle, Book Hill, Block Ortiz.
Okay. Call, Book, Block. Dylan Danis, Brendan Schaub, Jake Shields.
Call Dylan, Book Brendan, Block Shields.
That's where I thought that one would go.
Yeah.
And the last one here, okay? I want you to put your mind to June 2009, okay? I want you to think of the late, great Fight House Radio.
Oh,
three Call, episodes. Book, Block. Michael David Smith. Mike Chiappetta. And Mike Rubens, formerly of AOL Studios.
So crazy. So crazy. Like, only you would think of something like that and knows that. By the way, how about the fact that Way was on, like, in
Way
studio?
Way beat me.
Yeah.
Way beat me.
No, he was, like, episode 6.
Yeah.
I remember that day vividly.
Yeah. This was your panel, by the way, for your UFC 99 preview.
Yeah. How do you know this? This is crazy. You know who the first guest was, right? The first fighter guest?
Uriah Faber.
Yeah. Call Chia, Book Rubens, Block MDS.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
MDS kind of turned on me later on. It was weird.
Yeah. Was this post UFC 199?
No, it was way pre.
Way before that. Yeah. Okay. I was doing research. I was trying to figure out where this line go.
Yeah. No.
Do you have any idea what the oldest video? By the way, I had to, like, first of all, number one, to build that intro with all of Dana's podcast. Do you know how much that screwed up my algorithm of what videos I'm now getting?
Oh my God.
Dude, it'll take me a month to unwind this. But in trying to find this, do you know what your oldest video is on your YouTube channel? Your oldest first post of a video interview on YouTube.
So I wonder if it's accurate, if only because Aunt Evans has gone in and cleaned up my YouTube channel, and for some reason,
so some might have been
he's decided
eliminated.
To put some private. And I don't know what his line of thinking is. He's saying this is hurting you. This is not. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But so let's just say, what is the current oldest public interview?
Yeah, public. That's all I
Golly,
can
say. Is it a Jerry Park one?
No, I think these are all post Jerry Park interviews. I think
there was a brief. One trip I went Shamrock Diaz, April of 2009. I went out there on my own dime and I got a little bit of money from Echo to put their logo on my videos. And it was the only time I did Jerry Park video interviews. So there's an Alistair Overeem, there's a Boss Rutan, there's a Nick Diaz. Oldest. Is it my free agent fan one?
You're not going to guess this one. Oh. It's Justin Bieber.
Is it really? Okay. So, so that's Ant's work.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's some from 2008. That should be up there. And by the way, a fun treasure trove is if you type in MMA rated, there's an MMA rated YouTube channel.
Is there really? Oh.
And someone, I don't even know who did it, uploaded all my videos from MMArated.com because there was no YouTube back then, or at least it wasn't a thing, and moved them over to YouTube. And I'm so thankful to that person. I hope they never shut off and they're all up there. Like all the original, like my real first foray into all of this. But the Bieber one was cool because we talked about the Habs and the Leafs, and there was a rumor that he was dating Taylor Swift, but he was like 13 at the time.
He's so young in this video.
Yeah.
Like you're literally leaning down to talk to him.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, Ariel, how did this stack up on the Pantheon? I feel this was a good one.
Oh my gosh. I feel pretty confident. I mean, I'm actually really impressed at how well I did last year, even though I thought, but like before you said 76, I would have said, oh, I got at least 85. It felt like I got so many right. Feel pretty good. I think this is going to be a really interesting year in the world of combat sports. Never before, I would say, are the three things that we talk about here, MMA, boxing, like so intertwined, right? What a time. And, arguably never before has there been so little MMA competition too, which is a little bit depressing. Like there's nothing. I just, obviously there's PFL and one is what, but like it's pretty bare right now. And it would be, I wish we had an AEW to WWE's UFC, you know?
It's wild to me. I think that there's just such a, it really does go to, I just think there's this suffocation model, might be overstating it, but it's so hard just to keep up with UFC as is. I just think there's so many elements working against any startup to be able to even compete. It's just such a distant, it's just such a hard sell to try and, get that, that level. Like you look at what PFL has struggled to attain when it comes just to a smidgen of market share. And it's not great for fighters, but it is.
No,
like the UFC is as red hot where they can do a $9 million gate here in Toronto for Sean Strickland and Dricus du Plessis. I mean, it's just like their pay-per-views are, and this year with the television deal, like that is the big coveted contract in sports this year.
And it's really the last one for a bit, maybe until WWE's PLE deal is up next year. I will just say, of all the, there's obviously like the top dogs in every entity. If I had to invest in one that, I think could give a little bit of a run for their money, it's BKFC. I think they're the ones doing it the best right now. And I never thought I would say that, to be honest. They're different. It's exciting. They seem to be making, incremental leaps. They've got a DAZN deal. They've got these big plans, $25 million tournament. They're about to sell out the Wells Fargo Center, which is a pretty damn impressive feat. So yeah, like nothing really in MMA. Obviously, I don't consider AEW a startup. And you would know probably better than anyone, like I root for the AEWs. And so this notion that I'm anti-AEW is so funny to me. Cause like in the world of MMA, like I always root for the B League and the C League. And I'm rooting for AEW as well. Like I just want more outlets and opportunities for the athletes and the fighters and the competitors, whatever you want to call them. So I wish that we had that in MMA, but right now it's been a long time. Cause even going into last year, it was like, okay, PFL has Bellator. Let's see what they do. And it's just hasn't quite turned out the way we thought.
Yeah. The AEW, like I've never lived through a period where a company is just, it's difficult because there are real criticisms you can make of the product, and they have been hampered, and like their business has gone down, but it's offset by like they got an incredible television deal. Like they have succeeded in getting what the whole purpose of these 5 years were toward, which was this deal. And they're combating like they are combating like a WWE that is red hot, that I think you could really argue if WWE would have been able to get to this level without an AEW, because there's a lot of things at play. Like Cody Rhodes returning to WWE is not anything without an AEW. There is, you know, there's all these different factors, but I think that, it's an industry though where it's just, it's such a divisive company for so many, and it's hard to just be able to separate. Like there is criticism of the company, and it's trying to like find like the good faith arguments in it too, because it just is a quagmire of just insanity attached.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit, man. It's hard to get to this spot to where you're getting a massive deal from a WBD. They're not dying with a deal like that. That's the thing that like when I see GFL, it's like, okay, where's your rights deal coming? Oh, you don't have one? All right, you're not really a thing. You can't be a thing. So yeah, I give them a ton of credit, and you compare them to whatever competition there is in MMA, it's like night and day. They're doing so much better than anyone. So, respect.
Well, that's going to bring an end to the 2025 MMA prediction show. Tune in next year. Ariel will reveal how many things he was holding close to the vest. I'm sure you'll see him on Netflix this year. You'll see him.
There's a couple that I thought you were going to ask me 1,000% that you didn't.
I try to avoid though. I don't want to go for the obvious ones. Did I miss some big ones?
No, you didn't. Listen, okay. Do your thing. I was ready for them. I was ready for them.
Okay.
And you hit me with that's a good sign. You hit me with the curveball.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll. Ariel is quietly grading these shows, and maybe I got to beat.
No, this year
it's like it was okay. It was fine. It was fine.
No.
All right, Ariel, thanks as always, making all this time. This is a show that I consistently am always asked about this time of the year. Where's the prediction show? Where's the prediction show? Here it is, debuting on the Post Wrestling Cafe, free to the world, this coming Monday. But we thank you as always, Ariel. Check him out, uncrowned.com. He's up Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday. He's got you covered. Plus, the Ariel and Ade boxing show. Doing 4 shows a week now?
Yeah.
And How's that?
How's my health? It's pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. We might be adding another show. Who knows?
Oh, look at that! Five days a week, Ariel.
It's going to be called Falls Count Anywhere, Helwani's Wrestling Show. No, I'm kidding. But no, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Well, we will look forward to that. Maybe Ariel Tony Khan for first show.
I would love it.
You two should co-host a show.
Me and him?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know about co-host.
Talk about everything but wrestling.
It's not a bad idea as well. Not a bad name too. No beef here. In the year 2025, peace and love. I'm not looking to feud with anyone. Yeah. So he's welcome on my show that doesn't exist.
Thank you, everyone. Your 2025 can now begin.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.